and brought them into, you know, enjoyment. The man never knew he could travel abroad. The man brought him out of India, brought him to Nigeria, gave him a decent house. You are getting my point. You know, gave him a regular income. He can remit money back to his family in India. So to him, this man is God and there is none else. And he's deathly loyal to this man. He's loyal totally. Not, you see, sometimes when we want to interpret life, we don't know what's going on. Sometimes people say that, listen, Muslims are very dedicated. You don't know what they call demon possession. When a man drives a car, starts it and blows himself up, it's not dedication, it's demon possession. What's pushing people sometimes you don't know. You think it's just simple, you know, a good mind of faithfulness. No, it's not. Sometimes you see that kind of person say, I like him, he's a very dedicated man to his job. You don't know, it's not his job that's the issue. He's worshipping a God which you don't realize. My boss is God and there is none else. Without him, I wouldn't have clothes. Without him, I wouldn't have food. Without him, I wouldn't be able to give money to my family members back at home. Therefore, he will worship this God. Let me say to you, that's one thing God said you must never do as Christians. This is what we are. We, as believers, we recognize that God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is God and there is none else. Therefore, if you lose your job today, bat your eyelids, look around. God has opened another door. Why? Because that company was never God. Are you getting my point? What is God saying about himself? He said, hear me, O saints of God, I am God and there is none else. I hold jobs. Jobs are instruments I use. When I'm tired of them, I roll them back. I don't know whether you hear what I said. That is, I can use a man to bless you. And if you see here, God was speaking about Cyrus. And he was telling him, Cyrus, I'm going to give you so much power. Look at what he said. Let me go back to that verse 1. Just look in your Bible briefly. He said, I have taken you, was speaking to Cyrus, by the hand, because as I was describing the what God did to Cyrus, to subdue nations before him. To lose the loins of kings. That is, when Cyrus will declare war upon a nation, they lose heart. Their instruments of war begin to malfunction. You are getting my point. The man was very powerful. When he finally came, he was not here at this time. These were the people who conquered the Babylonians. When Babylon went down, it was because Cyrus came against it. When Jeremiah prophesied, thus will Babylon go down and not rise again. Babylon was shaking the whole earth. By the time it went down, it was because God raised up Cyrus to break down Babylon. I tell you the kind of person I'm talking about. Very powerful. Now listen to me. This was the same Babylon that Nebuchadnezzar woke up and said, is this not Babylon the Great? Are you getting my point? Babylon was so powerful, it made a man go crazy with, you know, the aura of the power of that nation. He said, I build for the glory of my mind. I don't say it again. Anyway, I build for the glory of my mind, by the strength of my mind, for the glory of my majesty. All right. That's how powerful it was. But yeah, this man rode against it and Babylon went down. So God said, I loose the loins of kings before this Cyrus. I opened doors before him so that gates will not be shut. It's on record. The day he invaded Babylon, they didn't lock the gates that night. The gates of the city. I will go before you and make the rough places smooth. That is what he's saying to Cyrus. I will shatter the doors of bronze and cut through iron bars. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden wealth of secret places, in order that you may know that it is I, the Lord. Let me stop it there. In order that you may know that it is I, the Lord, not your strength. In order that you may know that it is I, the Lord, not your wisdom. In order that you may know that it is I, the Lord. He said, further down, he said, I am the Lord and there is none other. No matter how powerful you become, Cyrus, don't ever forget, I am God and there is none other. You are not taking over from Babylon because you're stronger than them. You are taking over because I set seasons and I set epochs. I raise kings. I bring down kings. I'm bringing them down and I'm replacing them with you. I am God and there is none other. God is saying to you and me also, listen, everything is beneath me. I control those jobs. I control those companies. I control the economy. I am God and there is none other. There's no nation that is God. What do I mean? Prosperity won't come into your life because you move from one country to another. You move to any country you like. Make sure the purpose is right. Do you get my point? You can come next year and find, say, where's Pastor Banky? He has gone to Malawi. But I won't go to Malawi because I'm looking for money. You can come and say, where is he now? He say, he has gone to Australia. Very unlikely, but even if it happens, it must never be. Because I think that I'll prosper more if I go there. You know why? Because God said, behold, I am God and there is none other. I control prosperity. I can cause it to flow towards you anywhere you are. I can cause the wealth of the nations to flow towards you anywhere you are. I am God and there is none other. Are you getting my point? Now that I've lost this job, what am I going to do? 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 Oh, God, I did not pass this interview. They didn't employ me. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I will tell you, we'll raise up our voices under such circumstances and remind ourselves. No, God doesn't forget, you know that. We remind ourselves that he is God and not that job. He is God, not that contract. My wife and I were discussing, you know, we traveled over the last few days. And, you know, so in the car, we were talking a lot. And where we went to. And he was describing a meeting she went for. And people were analyzing government contracts and corruption. Now, listen to this. It's a good place to digress again, because it helped a lot of us. You know my government contracts and corruption. Corruption is a serious, in fact, you know, Bible said the last enemy that will be put to death is what? Death. That will be, what's the word? Destroyed, eh? Because I was just put to death. Put death to death. It's kind of strange, all right? The last enemy anyway that will be taken care of is what? Death. I particularly think that in Nigeria, the enemy before that one is corruption. That's once God, that the only thing harder than, that the one next in line, that only death is harder than corruption in Nigeria. The thing is, it's like a matrix. It's just everywhere. Don't worry. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, it was as if we were dreaming. Did God roll this thing back? Eh? You open your mouth, it will take you a whole day to close it. You won't. Is it, so you mean this is possible? You look and say, you mean this is possible? And listen to me, it's beginning to happen. You know, God said, when you begin to see the armies gather around Jerusalem, then know that her desolation has come. Are you getting my point? So when you see all of these things, he said, you look up, your salvation or your redemption is near. Now, there are many things happening that if you look at, you will know that certain issues are coming into existence. When they took Dimeji Bankole and Zinafada and put them in prison and detention and on trial, it's a sign to all of us. There are things that have been happening in the country. Now, you know, if they sell you land now in Nigeria that's blocking road, you won't build on it. Are you going to build on it? No. Even if the president gives it to you, you won't build on it. Because you know his tenure is limited. But the master plan of Abuja is eternal. Now, relative now. And you don't know who's coming next. So, ever since El-Rufai came into Abuja, he warned us that no matter how powerful the person who gave you a wrong allocation is, one day, thus will Babylon go down and not rise again. Thus will your house go down. Uh-huh. So now we are careful. When they give you land, Bishop, I know they check. You go check out where you go. Where is the master plan of this city? Before we go and build on a proposed drainage. Yes. By the time it's a proposed drainage, one day it shall be disposed. It's a proposal and disposed. One day they will do it. And they'll tell you that your house is on a drain, proposed drain. Say, boy, I was allocated to them. They say, no, sorry, it was unconstitutional against it, and then no compensation. It is not overriding public interest now. It's more of you went against public interest when you built this house here. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? All right? You know, you bear in mind, things like these things are beginning to happen. The most powerful bribe buyer in Nigeria is currently in jail in the UK. Yes. And in the history of Nigeria, nobody bribed more than that guy. I'm not aware of anybody. You see, one man is chasing you around, say, take $15 million. You corrupt the whole judicial system, only you. A principality. Then God took principality and put it in jail. It's a sign to the small evil spirits below the level of principality. Are you getting my point? I still remember the days of the Bosnian War. So watch it on TV that time. When Yugoslavia was breaking into pieces here and there. I remember Slobodan Milosevic, you come on TV, he's talking tough. Where is he now? I mean, those guys, it was the last guy, the one I even want to remember is Radovan Karadzic, or whatever the pronounce that guy's name. The guy used to talk tough on TV. The guy was a tough guy. Where is he now? He's on trial. It's a sign of the times. That old boy, shout all the shout you want to shout. One day we will lock you up. So, anyway, that's just by the way to encourage you. So, don't think that God is sleeping. He's taking his things in his time. Anyway, let's get back to what I was saying. So, that day, my wife and I were talking about this corruption matter. They had a meeting. We were talking about corruption in government houses, virtually every government job you want to get is laced with some kinds of corruption. It's how to get around it. That's now the discussion. I'm not going to go into that now. Maybe if we are discussing Seed Season 2, we may get into that. But I want to bring out an issue. I told my wife something. I said, you see, all this discussion is going on simply because you think the government job is God and there's none other. I don't know whether I get my point. Why are we having all this discussion? Should I pay by or not pay by? Just refuse to do the job and go on the job somewhere else now. You know, this discussion will end. I told my wife something. Let's tell ourselves the truth. Let's call a spade and not an agricultural implement. You know something? This is a spade. It's a spade. There are many kinds of agricultural implements. This one is a spade. The truth a lot of times is that we have focused on that easy money. Let's tell ourselves the truth. There are many people working day and night making money who are not concerned about, do I need to bribe somebody to get the job out? I have a friend. Let me tell you the kind of money they are making now, those young men in their company. One day, my friend, I think I've told the story here before, was saying he needed to buy a car. Anyway, just talked to one of his friends, who's the MD of the company, just said, how come you're driving this car? And the guy said, I'm trying to get a car, but my money is not complete yet. He said, how much is the car you want to buy? The guy said it's about 3.3 million. The guy just opened his briefcase, brought out the check, wrote it. Please go and buy it and stop driving this thing. That's the kind of money this guy is dealing in. Do you get my point? One day was telling him that one of their guys, he just bought a car, a G-Class, Mercedes-Benz. Are you getting me? Then, I think shortly after the car arrived, his other friend, I think they bought him a brand new one. He bought a Tokumba one. They bought him a brand new one of the same kind. Now I didn't know what to do with the Tokumba version. Now, I'm going somewhere. From the foundation of that company, they said, we are not doing government contracts. We don't have time for all this prayer and fasting and interceding on whether it is good to give kickback or no kickback or whether it's good to add or not add. The guy said, I don't have time. And if you know the kind of person I'm dealing with, is the kind of person that should have time. These are people that should have the time. They know people can pull strings and get all kinds of jobs everywhere. But he said, no, that I don't have that. I can't take that headache. It's an insult. I'm adding my own words now. It's an insult to my soul. I don't have time for breaking my head. You can go and steal money if you like. That's your problem. But if me and you are doing business, it's cash and carry. I ain't cutting you back on anything. Don't like my work, give it to somebody else. And my friend, one day was doing a job here. And, humans are never satisfied. The man came out to him. Can you come and help us do this? A bank manager. The manager of a bank. And this was before Lamido Sanusi came and swept people away. That time, everybody was swimming. He had to make a covert in front of the place. He was telling my friend that, okay, so how much are you going to add for me? You will add this one for me. My friend just said, I know they do it again. Go and give your job to one local contractor. I'm not doing. He told me, he's a bank. What kind of insult is that? This level in life, I'll be adding money for a bank manager to do a covert. What kind of rubbish is that? Told the man to go to hell. So I was telling my wife, I said, listen, forget all this our discussion is because we have not realized that he is God and there is none else. Let me get back to my main message. We are having all these discussions because we are begging for money. We are having all these discussions because we say, without this job, I can't do anything. That's why, listen, you must fortify yourself. You know, I told you Christians, you know we were in a cult. Yes. We did drink blood. How this is small which you will be drinking blood of sinners? How what can the blood of a sinner do for you? Blood of animal. We drink precious blood, amen? Righteous blood, amen? Blood without contamination. No deformed red cell inside. No malaria parasite. According to Godons, how many of you know Godons, the comedian? He said, even these days, witches, they check. They do HIV tests before they drink blood. According to Godons, the witch before sucks more, checking for screening. If it's clean. We drink the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, except you eat my flesh and do what? Drink my blood. You are not a member of this cult yet. That's what he says. You have no life in you. We too, we are fortified. We they go for night meeting. The one we do in church, night vigil, waiting be, no be night meeting. We have incantations. There's a whole book of incantations. It's called Psalms. It's all incantation. Proverbs has some correct incantation you can add to the one in Psalms. I was reading Rick Joyner, Purpose Driven Church. He was saying there are some scriptures you don't use in the meeting that you are calling sinners. So when you say, God dash the head of, you know, there are some wicked scriptures about drinking the blood of the enemy. He said, no, don't read that when you are inviting sinners. Read the ones that your sins shall be forgiven, no small ones. What I'm going to say, we have some wicked scriptures that we can't read outside. The most dangerous sacrifice, we partook in it. We drank the blood of Jesus. That is the kind of blood that you can't drink and be the same. You can't drink and go to hell. You can't drink and the evil spirits will be driving you around. They smoke. If you fortify yourself also. What am I saying? We also are fortified. Before we go into business, we fortify ourselves with truth. The knowledge of God. That's what I'm going to. Some of the things we do in life, what we are doing is that we expose ourselves needlessly. We are not fortified in our souls that without you, that is this job, I can do everything. The only person without whom I can do nothing is God. So we are afraid. We are afraid they will say no. I mean, I used to tell people, you know, there are things I don't consider prayer points. A girl comes to me and says, you know, our lecturer says that if I don't sleep with him, I will fail. Say, tell him, sir, how we fail. But know that none of your children will succeed in life. Know that you will not live long. Know that if you buy a car, it will catch fire. Talk to him and walk out of his office. Tell him, I want to meet the chief of my own court. He said, I should tell you that you will become impotent within 6 months if you utter that word in my direction again. And for life, you will never regain it. If you like, take one dozen of Viagra, you will remain impotent. Thus says the Lord. Tell the person. He won't do anything if he's in that kind of thing. He said, I tell him, no, I'm ready to fail. It's called resisting sin to the shedding of blood. We're in a cult. The problem is that we know they do the correct sacrifice of the cult. There are things you don't tempt somebody with. And you call that temptation? There are things I don't call temptation. If they put a gun in your head, that's temptation. That's temptation. One day I was overpaid in my office. For that time, it was a huge amount of money. So I went to the accounts department and said, please, oh, what's going on? There's a man. I said, okay, sorry. Oh, I was coming to come and see you. So let's go. So I said, all right. He said, actually, there's no problem that I don't have to return the money. I should just bring half of the overpayment. And then that will be the end of it. I looked at him. The guy lucky say, you know, I respect elder where I come from. If a slap person is assault in Nigerian law, is a problem. I would have given him slap. A slap is even good. I for kick him down from here. You know what I'm saying? I go bend. That's not temptation. I don't consider that temptation. I'm not bragging. No, God is my witness. You can't tempt me now with $1 billion. You can't. I'm not joking about that. I love people. You'll be switching your gospel because you want to raise small offering. You know why I can't be tempted? Not because I have $1 billion. All of you know I don't, physically speaking. The point is that I know that $1 billion is emptiness. Solomon said, vanity upon vanity. All Every dollar is emptiness. It's like chasing after the wind. It's like you go and bag 100 kilograms, no, 1 million tons of air, and you say, you will give it to me. When I open the bag, what will happen? The whole air will escape. No, be so. At least you tell me, I don't consider temptation. I don't consider me. There are other things. You should tempt me with things that are more dangerous. Not money. What am I not explaining? Some of the problems we have in life. Let me sit on that thing. I'm digressing, I know, but let me just sit on it for a while. It's because we don't realize that God says, I am God and there is none else. This is what I mean by fortification. Before you go out into business, into anything, first tell yourself, my God is God and there's none, and I don't need this thing for survival. I am here to bless you. I rocket, you were not telling me one story once about your boss. They said you should go. A bank said, look, go and get that man on in this project. That's why we are not doing. And the man came. They came and said, is it these people? I don't have your time. These you government people, you have come again. I don't have the time. Go. They said, no, the project is stalled. They said, if we don't put you. So, how much is my consultancy fees? He told them. They went and brought it in cash. Now, that's the beginning. They went and brought it in cash. So my wife and I were discussing. I said, listen, this is how you handle such things. Put yourself in the position where people need you, not you begging. You get my point? All that talk is when you are the one begging. When they are the ones begging, there are certain kinds of talk that don't come up. What am I saying? God says, I am what? God, and there is none else. If you understand that, then your attitude, that's what I mean by fortification. You fortify yourself first with that truth that He is God. The job is not God. I was discussing with my wife a few days ago. I said, look, there are different levels of faith. There's faith that thinks, and I think it's a bit of the introductory level of faith, that once I ask for this thing the way I want it, I get it exactly like that. So if this office is employing, I speak to them to employ me. And by faith, they must employ me by force. Fine, I don't know. You can have all the testimonies to support it. I don't practice that. What am I looking for there? Yeah. What's all this raking? Is it not money? How many people have gone to Enugu State Schools Management Board and anointed themselves and claimed the job by faith? That's when I know you guys really have faith. Those who practice such things. As long as it's telecom company and oil companies and banks you are doing it for. That's not faith. That's covetousness. I don't care the story you want to tell me. It's not faith. Use that same principle to join the police. I know you know you have faith. Yes. When your faith only works towards where money is coming in big amounts, come on, get away. That's not faith, my friend. All the faith you have been using to claim American visa. Why not take and claim Kenyan visa? Then I know it's faith. You're only using it to go to the land where something they flow. I be clear, my friend. That's not faith. Don't disturb my soul. There's another level of faith in which I know if I apply for the job, if they don't employ me, I then lose. Are you getting my point? Because God is God and there is none else. The thing I'm looking for is not in that place. It's coming from God. I've told this story, and I told you where I went to preach in Full Gospel. They had this special program this morning. I went to preach there this morning. I still told the story there, and I told you here before, Tunde Bakare's story. He prayed to God, you will bless me, and I will make sure that my pastor will never have to be making all these kind of announcements for money. And the pastor prayed over that letter. The following week, they sacked him. A few days later, anyway. They sacked him from the same job where he thought God was using to, and he was planning to wait in the next few weeks. Oh, I don't know whether I added that part of the story to it. The wedding was coming up. And the man has planned to take a loan to buy a car so as to impress his father-in-law, who happened to be a rich man. Hey, go church. He goes to the pastor and says, don't fire me. The pastor began to laugh. And he said, what is so funny? In summary, the man said, listen, the kind of prosperity you are praying for, they don't pay it as salaries. Let me cut a long story, all right, into a short one. A few weeks later, he became a private, he's a lawyer. He went into private practice. The first brief he got paid him, I don't know whether it's 2 or 3 years' salary, in one single payment. And the car he wanted to take loan to buy, he bought it cash. Bring the motor, paid. And he just got sacked. Why? Because he's God and not that particular firm where he was working. I am God and there is none else. God said to Cyrus, no matter how powerful you become, it's because I am God and there is none else. When Nebuchadnezzar opened his dirty mouth and said, this is Babylon the Great, which I built with my own might so as to shine before everybody for the glory of my majesty. God said, yeah. You know, I told you before, there are titles you can use. God knows the vex. If you start a ministry, use any title you like. It's your problem. The most eminent papal cardinal of the new generation anointed Catholic Church of local Enugu region. It's your problem. Yes, I know the vex again. Some people say, this small boy is calling themselves bishop. If you talk too much, I call myself Archbishop. For information, Archbishop Benson Dawson became Archbishop Benson Dawson because people were fighting him over becoming bishop. It's okay. You can say, I can't be bishop. He became an Archbishop. I heard the story a few days ago. One day, slapped a man dirty. Say, I'm not only an Archbishop, I'm a harsh bishop. A harsh one. Land him off of his. Now, what am I saying? But there are names you must avoid. Any name that competes with God for glory, run. Names like Almighty, All Sufficient. Without me, they can do nothing. Controller of the church. Once you start using names like that, you're in trouble. Nebuchadnezzar went into that realm. Glory of my majesty. I am he that controlleth the affairs of Babylon. God said, all right, let me show you a few things. I don't know how long he was out of his mind for. But you know the good thing about his own mental situation? He knew he was mental. You can be mental and think you are normal. That one is good. Because you won't be too disturbed. He was mental and he knew. He was out of control. And he knew. When the guy don't pray consistently, God said, fine, you got the point. He said, yeah, there are titles I'm going to avoid now. So God has to introduce himself to us again and again. You may have a lot of money. Money is not God. I am God and not your cash. I've told this story several times. I heard it then. Somebody told me. And first time I heard it was second hand. But the next time I heard it, the man said, I heard it myself. The MQ Abiola then, somebody prayed for him over the radio, at the radio show. They invited him. And he said, because of all the charity, the all work of charity was doing, philanthropy, they said, the best pray for him that may one kind of spirit they call Agba, not in Europe, I said, may it not enter your money. And he opened his mouth, and that was the day he condemned himself. He said, that prayer is not necessary. That the Agba not that enters, we eat and get tired. Oh, yeah, the day I heard it, I knew the man was judged. What is the problem with saying amen? Not because na prayer. There's a, you know this folk tale of why the monkey says, am. In my side, they say it's because it's ami. That's what he's saying. Amen. They say, why? Because one day, Mr. Tortoise came and prayed the prayer. And said, the true wahala way you don't know about may not come upon you. And told the monkey to say amen. And monkey said, why should I say amen? Do I know the kind of prayer you're praying? I just be saying amen, anyhow. This amen is one word. All this talk he has talked was like 20 words. Tortoise says, that's so. Okay. Anyway, I'm not here to tell children's stories. But by the time the tortoise arranged the guy, tortoise went and told, one the tortoise took a honey, made some nice, what they call sweets in English, you know, all this dessert, and coleslaw, those kind of things, you know, and cream caramel. They give the thing, very nice cake.
He give lion chop. Lion said, man, this is sweet, oh. He said, where did it come from? He said, nah, monkey shit.